Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, John 2, the changing of the water into wine. Let us pray. O Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit upon your church this day. Grant us understanding of your holy word. Give us faith. Give us joy and peace as we hear. Help us now all concentrate and receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Read the sign. Obey the sign. Does it kind of bug you when someone doesn't read the sign or obey the sign? Kind of bugs us, doesn't it? I forgot the Kyrie and the Gloria. Were you bugged by that? That was not intentional. I just got a little speedy. I apologize, Ruth, and we'll pick up on that next Sunday. But it bothers us when we see someone not reading the signs or obeying signs. You're at a four-way stop, and you stop like you should, but then some guy goes flying to the intersection. He doesn't stop at all. And what do you yell in your car that we can speak about in church anyway? Read the sign, buddy. You're going to kill somebody. Or you're in the grocery store and you have just a few items, six, seven items, and you go into the lane, 15 items or less is what the sign says, 15 items or less, and the person in front of you has how many items? About 27, 28. You count them just like I do, and what are you thinking to yourself, although you don't say it because you're a Christian? Read the sign, pal. Go to a different lane, 15 items or less. Or the one that really bugs me is you're on the interstate, and you have the sign saying, right lane closed ahead, 1 mile, get over. And so you politely get over to the left lane, and people are getting over. And you're in the left lane, going slower, of course. And here comes that guy down the right lane, going 90 miles an hour, flying by. And he cuts in right in front of you, right before the lane goes down. And what do you say in your car? Read the sign, pal. Obey the sign. What are you doing? In the gospel lesson today, God is saying to the church, read the sign. Do you understand the sign? His first miracle, water to wine. And yet of note, John the apostle, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, does not call this a miracle. John does not call it a mere deed. He calls it a sign. Very important word. A sign means it's something that points to something else, as we all know. A sign is not there for itself, it's pointing you to something else. What does this miracle point us to? What's it really trying to teach us? There's something deeper here than just, he did a miracle, let's move on. There are, if you will, three things God's teaching us, three signs, if you will, God's putting up in front of the church, in front of people. All in this miracle for us to consider. First of all, I would suggest there's a big stop sign. God puts up a big red stop sign. Stop, First Lutheran Church. Stop, Christian. Stop in your tracks. Stop right where you are and do some examining of yourself. Look at yourself. Look at the world. Stop and consider yourself and the world. Self-examination, we would call it. Stop where you are. This miracle, this story shows us how we fail, how we are often so foolish, and how empty we are without Jesus. Do we realize that? Without Jesus, we are empty of anything good, and we are fools, and we fail like crazy. Notice the failures in the story. You have a wedding going on, and the first big failure, there's no wine. This is unheard of back then. This is shocking. No wine? How can they run out of wine? The bridegroom was largely responsible for having wine, and there's no wine. He looks like an utter fool. He has failed the people he invited. It was a sacred duty of hospitality. Remember, the Jews were very much into hospitality, welcoming the stranger and everybody else. It was a sacred duty of hospitality to have wine for your wedding, and now there's no wine. He has failed miserably. All his guests are going to leave. He looks like a fool. He's ashamed. He's embarrassed. We don't have any wine. What's going on? You can imagine the scene. And we are to read this and not laugh at the bridegroom. Ha, ha, ha. How can he run out of wine? We are to identify. They had no wine, and oftentimes we have no love in our hearts for anyone. We're not very hospitable either. Who did you greet coming to church today? Did you reach out to someone you don't know? We turn a cold shoulder to people. We don't help as we should. We don't serve as we should. We lack wine too, basic hospitality and friendliness to a lot of people. Get out, go to your own party. You don't know wine for you, we might say. Wine back in that day was a symbol, and today, of feasting, of joy, of salvation. Same thing in our culture. When you're going to celebrate, pop open a bottle of wine. Thanksgiving, Christmas, or maybe not even that. A bottle of wine means we're feasting, we're celebrating something. There's joy, there's peace. And so in that day, new life, joy, peace with God is the symbol of wine. And God is teaching us clearly that without Jesus, there's no new life. There's no wine. There's no joy. There's no real peace. There's no salvation. Jesus must fill our empty stone jars with the new wine. And that leads to the great object lesson that he gives, which is he has them fill 6 empty stone jars. This is important, or the Holy Spirit wouldn't tell us these details. Why doesn't he just snap his fingers and just make more wine? Why not just fill the old wine containers with wine that were now empty? Why does he say, hey, these 6, and they're 6, not 5, not 7, but 6 stone jars that are empty, fill them. The sign, deeper meaning, these 6 stone jars, I suggest, represent us. We are the 6 stone empty jars. They represent us. We have a stony, hard heart, and we are empty of righteousness, empty of wine, empty of love, empty of kindness. We're empty people. We Americans, we fill our homes with furniture. We fill our garages with cars. We fill our closets with clothes, our pantries with food, but our heart is empty. And we're trying to fill it with something. Super Bowl, sports, entertainment, something will fill my empty heart. And only Jesus can fill it. Nothing else can. And God's teaching us that. Stop and take a good look at your emptiness, your hard heart, your foolishness, how you fail people. Stop and confess. That's in the story here. But there's more. Another sign the Lord is holding up is a big yield sign. Stop sign, and then a yield sign. When you yield, you slow down, you stop and let someone else go first. Yield to who? Yield to Jesus. Submit to Jesus. Obey Jesus. He can take care of the problem. He can fill the empty stone jar. He can fill the empty heart. Yield to him. Believe in him. And you have 2 great examples of those that yield in the story. One is Mary, his mother. Mary is a great example for the church here of faith, of yielding to her son. Mary finds out there's no wine, and Mary gets involved. Why she gets involved, we don't know. She cares. And where does Mary go when they don't have any wine? She doesn't run to the bridegroom. She doesn't run to the wedding party. You don't have any wine, I hope you guys do something. She runs to who? She runs to the one who can take care of the problem, her son Jesus. And Jesus says, why are you coming to me? It's not my hour yet. Why are you bothering me? She believes in her son. Her son can give new wine. Her son can keep the feast going. Her son, she yields to. And then she says what to the servants after Jesus kind of says, it's not my time yet. Do whatever he says. That's yielding. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Do whatever Jesus said. Just, he's the one that can do it. Just do whatever. Yield to him. What an example. And then there's the servants that actually obey the words of Jesus. Jesus tells the servants, fill the 6 stone jars with water. Now, logically, this is silly. They must be thinking to themselves, this makes no sense. We don't need water, Jesus. We need wine. Why are you filling the 6? Why these 6 stone jars? Why that? And it would take a lot of work. Think of all the work filling 6 stone jars that are 20 to 30 gallons each. And filling all of them, that's pretty a lot of work for servants. A lot of water going in these jars. It's a lot of work. And why are we doing this, Lord? They need wine, not water. It doesn't make logical sense. And yet they submit. They have faith. They do it. And then he tells them, draw some water out and take it to the master of the feast. This is really foolish. We're going to give water, take water to the master of the feast? We're going to look like fools. And yet they do it. They submit. It makes no sense. And the Lord does a miracle. When I think of this miracle, I think of allusions to the sacraments. That the sacrament doesn't happen here, I understand that. But certainly it's a sign pointing us to the sacraments. You have water, baptism, you have wine, communion. Duh. This doesn't take a long stretch to figure this out. And when we have a baptism, we're going to have one in 2 weeks. Isaiah Froilen will be baptized. You know, the Lord says, put water in the font. Be baptized. Put water in the font. Get some water. And logically, we're thinking, this doesn't make sense, Lord. How's a little bit of water going to save a person? How's water going to take away their sins? How's water going to give them eternal life? How's water going to do anything for that baby at all? He's a baby after all. How's it going to happen? And yet we submit by faith. Whatever Jesus says, I'll do. By faith, we submit to the word of Jesus. We put water there. And Jesus, if you will, changes the water into the wine of salvation. For he gives us Holy Spirit here. He gives us power here. And we know there's more than water there. The Spirit is there. Forgiveness is there. Salvation is there. Eternal life is there. He changes that little bit of water into salvation for a baby. And they enter heaven. And we know it all happens. Why? Because he says so. So we have great faith. We submit. Most all of you have been baptized. Doesn't look like it's going to do anything. And yet, wow, what a miracle. And then you're going to come to communion today, most of you. The Lord says, take, eat, drink of it, all of you. A little bread, a little wine we have on the altar now. Little wafers, a little bit of wine. You've seen it before. Logically, reasonably, how in the world can that do anything for anybody? This can't even feed my stomach, let alone feed my soul, we might think logically. Doesn't make any sense. Little bread, little wine. And this is going to raise my body on the final day. This is my hope of eternal life. This is my hope of resurrection. My hope of forgiveness. Bread and wine, come on. And yet you will come and eat the bread and drink the wine. Because you know, if you will, it is changed. It's still bread and wine. But in, with, and under the bread is what? The very body of Jesus, the risen one. And why do we believe that? Because he says so, this is my body. We believe it. Miracle. And we take that little bit of wine, we sip it, we drink it. Because this is my blood of the new covenant. Wow. But we come in submission. We come in faith. We're Mary. We're the servants yielding to the word of Jesus. It doesn't make sense, Jesus. Does it look like it's going to work? But he makes it work. By his power as the Son of God. You know, in the paper a few days ago, I read of a new substance that we all have to go out and buy, a new liquid. You know what it is? Did you read it? Vinegar. Vinegar is the new wonder drug. I didn't know this, but there's a full page article about vinegar in your paper. Vinegar! I thought it just smelled bad, okay? But vinegar, I guess, can help control blood sugar. That's important. It can also help ease arthritis pain. You're all going to run out, aren't we, and go get some vinegar. And it can even help you make a flaky pie crust when you make that pie for the minister. Wow, how marvelous. And vinegar is a good gift, I'm sure. But there's always something else. Before it was blueberries and oranges and tangerines. Now it's vinegar. What's coming out next? I don't know. Cranberry juice a few years ago. We can eat eggs. We can't eat eggs. Can we eat eggs or not? I don't know. Orange juice, is it good or not? I don't know. We're always looking for something. And do we realize this text shows us the something that we need? It's Jesus. We just need Jesus. He becomes the bridegroom, you see. It was the bridegroom's job to provide the wine, and he takes over. I'll be the bridegroom, and we, the church, we're the ones being married. Notice how we're not told who gets married. Because again, a sign, it's Jesus and the church being married here. He's his love for us. And then finally, there's a third sign. And the third sign is go. There's a big green light here. Go, First Lutheran, go. Go, go and feast and celebrate and rejoice and eat, drink and be merry and feast some more and feast some more. Come, 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 go, go, go. The feast is on and it's forever. What does the crowd do in the story? Did the crowd leave? No wine, let's leave. Maybe a few did. But when Jesus makes new wine and it's the best wine, He saves the best for last. You'd have been a fool to leave. What, they got the best wine? I'm going to stay. And notice how much wine He makes. He makes, by my mathematical calculation, 120 to 180 gallons of wine. That is, I've read in commentaries, is probably 5 to 10 times more than what was ever needed at a Jewish wedding. He makes an abundance, an overflowing abundance of wine. Why? Because the feast continues. He is here. The Son of God is here. There's forgiveness for everybody. It never runs out. There's salvation for you. It never runs out. There's grace for you. It never runs out. The wine, we might say, is His blood that flows from the cross. And that blood ever flows and ever flows. It never runs out. That blood washes our sins today. And so keep celebrating. Keep rejoicing, church. And that's what we do here in church. The feast continues 2,000 years later at First Lutheran, this wedding reception. We have church Sundays and Wednesdays. We could have it every day, every night. Why? We're not here because it's commanded. If you're simply here because it's commanded, that's a pretty pathetic reason to come. Do you go to your grandma's Thanksgiving feast because it's commanded? That's pretty sad if that's your attitude. We're not here because we have to be here. We are here because our God is here. Christ is here. He doesn't leave the feast. He doesn't make the wine and say, okay, I'm seeing you all later. He stays. He serves. His blood is the wine. And because Christ is here and invites us and has made all this forgiveness and salvation, He invites us. How can we say no to Jesus? What fool would say no to Jesus? To rejoice with Jesus. He gives the best Himself. I recall a commercial, it's been 2-3 years ago. It was a commercial for Old Milwaukee Beer. And it was a group of men around a campfire. I think Rick Elmore was there, cowboys around a campfire. And they were eating stew and having a good time around a campfire. And one guy cracks open an Old Milwaukee and says, "It doesn't get any better than this." And that's about what the world can offer you, friend. The world can offer you in the end a can of beer, a bowl of stew, around a campfire. Have fun until it's over and it's cold at night and the fire goes out and the beer is not very good either. Old Milwaukee, stew. That's about what the world can offer you. Temporal enjoyment here or there. And they're gifts of God too. This text shows you what God has to offer. And it doesn't get any better than what God has to offer you in giving His Son and filling your empty, stony heart with the new wine of forgiveness and love. Here's what God has to offer, a wonderful table here in church we can gather around. And not stew, but salvation. The body and blood of Christ we gather around. That all will lead to the eternal feast in heaven. And the resurrection of our bodies, the best. God doesn't give second best, third best. He gives the best, His Son. Come and get Him in your mouth and rejoice. Read the signs. Stop. Yield. Go. Read the signs. Obey the signs. Have faith. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.